Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. Too many things we found, actually. Fracking, oil, nuclear power, all that crap, destroying our planet, especially at Fukushima, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we do have a great couple of guests coming on today to talk about stuff that we don't have to dig into the ground, that we put our windmills on top of the ground, and the wind whips them around and creates the energy we need. We got Ron Zweig talking to us from Falmouth, Massachusetts. Ron, are you with us?
Yep, here I am.
All right, good. And is Christina with you?
Yes, I am at Ground Zero here.
Ground Zero, Cape Cod, Falmouth, Massachusetts.
Ground
God's,
Zero.
God's green earth there. The Peyton Place by the Sea. Just by way of disclosure, I've known you guys since before we were born, obviously, and it's really great to have you on. You are wind pioneers, and we want to talk. I'm going to forego the Fukushima talk for a little bit so that we can get to happier stuff right off the bat. You guys have, I believe, the only power-generating home-based windmill on Cape Cod. Is that true?
Not the only one now. There have been a few more popped up since ours went up.
And right, but ours was one of the first, and certainly the first here in Falmouth.
And how's it doing?
Doing great.
Tell us about it. Tell us about your home-based windmill.
Power, and we produce about 150% of what we use, and we donate the surplus to charities.
Oh, yeah? Which charities?
We have the service center, which provides, it's like a food bank and other supplies for poorer folks in town, and to a rehabilitation center for people.
And so how does that work? Tell us how it works. You get that. Well, first of all, tell us, when did the windmill go up?
It went up in 2009.
What's the birthday?
It's about,
you know, the birthday of your
now.
Windmill?
Yeah, the winter. Ours went up, our household one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what was the date that went up?
It was probably around May 15th, if I remember correctly, 2009.
So you'll be going on your fifth anniversary this coming May.
Right.
That's right.
That's it.
And how much downtime have you had?
We've had about a month over that period.
And what was the cause of the downtime?
Well, different things. Some were that some of it was electronic components that had to kind of like fail before they were fixed, and then there was one mechanical yaw motor that was changed.
A yaw motor. What's a yaw motor? That's
yaw,
right? I've seen the word.
Turbine into the wind, so that it's basically out of the vertical axis rotation. So it just turns it into the wind and faces the wind. And there's a little motor that turns it. An adjustment is made about every 10 minutes. And so it basically tracks the wind.
It's a, cool. And so yours failed? Is that it?
It faces the wind.
Your yaw motor keeps the windmill facing the wind.
Right.
And so it failed and you had to replace it.
Right.
And did you do that personally, or did you have someone come out and do it?
No, we had someone do it. I'm not we're not tower climbers.
Right, we'd have to climb up.
Not yet, but you know, it's Yeah, so we have someone who loves to do that kind of thing. He just loves going up towers, so he did it for us.
Now, are there steps going up the tower? Does he have to, like, shimmy up like he's climbing a tree to get coconuts? I mean, what's the deal?
I don't like that. Kind of like the coconut deal, except that, you know, coconut trees have little, in perforations. This tower actually has a ladder built into it, but it's like climbing a 12-story building.
Wow.
So
is the ladder on the outside or the inside of the tower?
Getting up there.
Is the ladder on the outside or the inside of the tower?
Outside.
So, because I've been in really big windmills where you go up the tower on the inside. So
right.
Yours
now,
is not that big.
And they have a safety cable, and he wears a harness. And so he just sort of scales the tower that way.
That must be exciting. Did you film it?
We have some photos, yeah. We definitely have some photos of folks up there. And some of the better photos was when it was put up, because we had a crane come. And they're up there with this thing up in the air, and they're hanging on the tower and, you know, using you know, just basically guiding the crane operator right over to set it on top of the tower. That was for the windmill itself, the wind turbine itself.
The team who put it up were all from Falmouth or other parts of the Cape. So it was we used, you know, local folks to local businesses to put the wind turbine up.
And so was this part of your contract to have it put up, or did you have to pay extra?
It was all part of it. It was all part of the package.
Contract.
How long is your was your warranty for?
The warranty was, I think that the official one was 2 years, but we have a relationship with the manufacturer, and it seems that they've been very kind, and as you know, as these parts are needed and things, they provide them. And so it's been they're very responsive that way with regard to different components and things. So it's been
a good experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the name of the company?
Aircon. It's
spell
actually
that.
A German company.
So can you
and,
spell it?
And what's really cool about this day and age that we live in is that it is wired to our computer router. And so they can, if I see anything with a program issue or anything like this, I just send them an email, and usually within 4 hours, they've checked the program and made corrections from Germany.
Well, how much of your, we're talking with Chris Rowley and Ron Zweig from Falmouth, Massachusetts. We're talking about their windmill. What's the power rating of your windmill?
10 kilowatts.
Okay, so your house uses half that?
A little more than half, yeah.
And do you have a battery backup?
No, it's grid tied. And that's how we're able to donate power to the charities, is that the power company actually has a form you fill out, and you say you can identify anybody, including family members, neighbors, or charities, as we have, or businesses, and basically just put down their account number and the percent of surplus you want to give them, and it goes right to their the kilowatt hours are subtracted from their usage.
Right, so that's how we chose to do it, but the Green Communities Act of Massachusetts allows you to do that with, say, for instance, if we got a few homes, a few people who are interested in joining in, then as far as they're inside the NSTAR community, which is it's quite broad in Massachusetts, they it could go to anyone. So I say, you know, my sister, say, lives outside of Boston or Worcester or Central Mass or Western Mass, as long as they're in the NSTAR region, then it could go to anybody's NSTAR bill. So it's very interesting. It's very flexible in that regard.
And this is a state law that allows you to do this.
Right.
That's so cool. Now, how tall is the windmill?
Ours, the highest point's 128 feet.
And what's the length of the blades?
12 feet.
So
yeah.
It's really not a not a real big windmill, obviously.
No, small.
We have other ones in town
that are as large as 1.65 megawatts, and their blades are 130 feet long, so they're more than 10 times the length of ours, 11 times.
We'll talk about those in a minute, because I understand those windmills in Falmouth are causing an outbreak of venereal disease and herpes, and I want to get to the bottom of that. I was just kidding. Okay, so what else can you tell us? Has it paid off, your windmill?
Not yet. It will. It'll probably take about 8 to 10 years to pay out, to basically return the total investment. But for our, we have certain incentives from the federal government and the state government to put it up. So for us, it'll probably be about eight to ten years, I think, even for that.
But then once you achieve that, then your electricity is free.
Well, right now it's, in essence. Right now we haven't paid an electric bill since it went up. But we invested, up front in the construction.
Did you pay cash for the windmill?
We paid our contractor, yeah.
Okay, so you did not finance it, so you don't have interest payments on this thing.
Right.
No, we didn't borrow money to put it up.
Now, what about the noise factor? Does the windmill make noise, and what kind of noise if it does?
Well, our turbine here in the backyard has what our guests have usually described as a pleasant humming noise. So it is kind of meditative.
It depends which way the wind's blowing, and it's there is a sound, but the sound is oftentimes mute, basically covered up. The stronger the wind blows, the more background noise you have of wind blowing through trees and branches and all of that, so that it generally is masked. But at the same time, it has its own pitch, and that pitch and sound is slightly different from background noise. So there is some presence, but it's not a big deal. It's actually very close to the closest point to the wind turbine for us, and for our neighbors happens to be our bedroom. So if anything, it would lull us to sleep. Gray noise, if anything.
So it sounds like a big, tall Buddhist monk who's oming in the background. Is that right?
That's how we always refer to it.
That's right.
And our neighbors are actually very supportive. They've been from the very beginning have been very supportive of our doing it. And our neighbor across the street brought us a bouquet of flowers when it went up. The comments we get are that basically she loves our windmill.
Do you give her any power? Does she get any benefit from it?
No, she just has a view of it.
No, she has a view of it, and she just loves it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a kinetic sculpture.
Right. Okay, we're talking to Christina Raleigh and Ron Zweig from Falmouth, Massachusetts. We're talking about their pet windmill. What's the name of your windmill? Did you name it?
No, not really. We haven't named it. So
I think you should call it Dolly, after the Dalai Lama who's meditating in your backyard.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
If I ever meet the Dalai, people once asked, my students asked me once. I teach about Buddhism in one of my courses, and they asked me once what I would say if I ever met the Dalai Lama, and I said, "Well, it's obvious. I'd say hello, Dolly." So. Which I'm sure he gets at least once a day.
Yes, and he would get a kick out of that, too. Got a great sense of humor.
Yes, well, we're also joined by someone with a great sense of humor. Mitchell Posen, are you on the line?
Oh, yeah.
Mitchell? Hello, Mitchell?
Yep, you got me. I'm on my cell phone. I'm sorry.
All right, you sit in one place, Mitchell, so you don't break up on us.
Okay, I'm staying.
All right, great. So we're joined now by Mitchell Posen, also from the Cape and Vineyard region. This is Mitchell from the Allen Farm in Chilmark, Massachusetts. Mitchell also has a windmill in his backyard. Mitchell, can you tell us about your windmill?
Wind turbine, yeah. Let's see, our wind turbine is a 68 kW.
That's kilowatts.
It's what?
Kilowatts.
Kilowatts, yeah, 68, yeah, right, kilowatts, right. And it's on a 120-foot tower. It's got 30-foot blades. And I guess we thought we were going to do about 122,000 kilowatt-hours. And the first year we did 135, and this year from October to October we've done 150,000.
Wow. So and Chris and Ron, what's your annual output of kilowatt hours?
It's about 10,000. It's about, yeah.
So Mitchell's is 10 times larger than yours, 12.
No, his is about 6-7 times larger, yeah.
In size? Yes, they put out a lot more than us.
He's in a bit somewhat better location.
Yeah.
Right, Mitchell, you're on top of a hill, right?
On top of the hill, right off the Atlantic.
Okay, so you get steadier winds, I guess, than Chris and Ron because they're in the forest.
I'm a guy who hated the wind.
Yeah.
You know, when your farm's in a windy area, you get to hate the wind, and now I have a little less hate there.
Right.
All right, so Mitchell, are you making money on your machine?
Yeah, we are doing what's called net metering. And we have a restaurant in town that's been buying our extra juice. And we're slowly but surely getting it figured out how to do the net metering. And it's been a little complicated, but I'm sorry to say it's taking me so long. But we're zeroing in on it.
Great.
And we anticipate... Our project was about $410,000. We got stimulus money from Obama's thing, which was about $125,000. And we got $100,000 from the Clean Energy Center, which is money from NSTAR, actually.
Now, are you in the same utility district as Chris and Ron in Falmouth?
If they're NSTAR, yes.
Yes, apparently. You're NSTAR, right, Chris?
Right, yes.
Same company.
Yeah.
So, and, Mitchell, I know where your windmill is. It's on top of a pretty bare hill, and you're right next to the ocean. And, except for you did have an accident, I think, with a really tall sheep that was inadvertently shorn. Is that correct? No, that's a joke.
No, you're on
a sheep farm.
We've had problems with that. The animal's crazed right up to it. There's grass growing right up to it. And we've never seen a bird have a problem. We are animal neutral.
Animal neutral. Chris, have you ever had a dead bird in your on your machine?
Us? No.
Yeah. No.
No, we've had, but we have more birds. We have birds hitting our windows now and then, but the turbine's pretty high up, and they seem to avoid it.
You've never had a casualty of a bald eagle or a pelican or anything like that?
Nothing like that.
Nope.
Okay. So, Mitch, now you also have neighbors. Have you had problems with the neighbors with your machine?
We had two neighbors, one majorly offended and one not so majorly. And now... It's all, we haven't heard anything negative. Actually, one of the people sort of have apologized for being so negative.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
All we got was people passing by and saying how majestic and how beautiful it looks.
Now, both of yours are painted white, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Chris and Ron, yours is white?
Our tower is galvanized, so it's sort of a gray.
And it just blends in to the trees.
You mean Dolly there. Dolly blends into the trees.
Dolly blends, yes.
Mitchell, have you named yours? Have you named your window?
No.
I think you should call it Barack, since you got some...
Barack, yeah.
Yeah, that's
well,
a good idea.
He helped.
Yeah, well, of course, you've had Bill Clinton on your farm there. But I won't suggest a name in that case. So, Mitchell, has anybody, no one else has complained. How about you? Do you hear noise from your windmill?
Oh, I'd have to say the 2 years it's been up, maybe I've heard it from my house twice. I live to the, southwest, and that's the prevailing winds in the summer. And the prevailing winds in the winter are from the northwest, so they really don't come towards my house. But I'm clearing. We're doing a project here. My son has just got married, and his home is going to be the closest home to the wind turbine.
And is he going to be able to hear the windmill there?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because he's going to be really close, and he's going to be to the northwest, so that southwest wind. All summer long.
So is that a calculation in the windmill? I think of having him hear it.
No. I mean, because even when you hear it, it's not that kind of noise that you would be offended by it.
Uh huh. Okay. So we have basically two successful windmill projects.
Right.
And Chris and Ron, we're going to talk about the big ones. After the break, we're going to take a break in about 9 minutes,
okay.
For 3 minutes, and then we're going to talk about Cape Wind and wind power in general, and also the accusations and resistance that you've been meeting in the Cape and the Vineyard to Big Wind, including the Cape Wind project. But I want to talk about these homeboys first here. Mitchell, are there other windmills for home use on the Martha's on Wind? I guess you want to call them wind turbines on Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah. There's one exactly like ours, and another farm has that in Edgartown. And unfortunately, they have not had as much success wind-wise as we have. We're in a little bit better windage area. And that's the only ones of that size. And there's quite a few, 18, we believe it, are on the vineyard.
18 windmills are on the vineyard?
Yes.
For various, for home use, or what's the deal with them?
Home use, yeah, those would all be home use, yes.
Are there any, there must be some on the yachts, too. I've seen small windmills on boats, on yachts. Have you seen any of those tooling around?
Yeah, a lot of them have charged the batteries, yes.
And you have some, too, on Falmouth there, Chris and Ron?
Yes, we do. We see that often.
The noisy ones.
Yeah,
what's
they
that?
Are. They are a little bit noisier.
They are, huh? Interesting.
Always, yeah. So, they really buzz. They really go.
But they're useful, obviously. I mean, they keep you on electricity on the boats.
And the people who are in the boats don't mind them.
Right, and then of course you can always use them to dice fish when you catch them.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Mitchell, what company is your windmill from, and are you happy with them?
Endurance Wind Power. They're out of Surrey, British Columbia.
Huh.
And I couldn't be more happy with it. They are very honorable people. You know, in the price of the installation came 5 years of maintenance and parts. And they've been upgrading things all the time. Just, it's a very honorable, great company.
How long have you had your windmill?
We put it up two Thanksgivings ago.
Oh.
Oh, so the second anniversary.
Right, bud?
And how much repair have you had to do on it?
Things happened. One of NSTAR's three-phase wires pulled apart. And our brakes went on and on and on and went through a break, so I had to have a brake put in there. But, again, that was under the warranty. I wish Gary was here, the fellow who installed it. He's well, so, installing.
Well, in two years, Mitchell, how much downtime have you had on your windmill?
How much downtime? I wouldn't say even a week.
Wow.
I would say a few days.
Now, downtime. When winds are slower in the summer, I assume, but does it still pay? I mean, do you still get good production?
No. We get the southwest wind, which that's why we get the southwest wind from off the water. You know, we're southern slope, and we just get that cool air replacing the hot air on the land, and it, you know, we get that onshore breeze.
So I got to tell you, people listening in, I've been to both locations of these windmills, and they're both absolutely gorgeous. Chris and Ron have their windmill in a forest that is a beautiful home in Falmouth. You're, a couple hundred yards from the ocean. And Mitchell Posen is on the Allen Farm, Sheep and Wool Company, and his windmill, his and Clarissa, is on top of a hill, which is pretty a bare hill, overlooking the ocean. I guess you're probably up 100 yards from the ocean as well when you get down to it.
We're quarter of a mile, three-eighths of a mile. Yeah, we're a little bit of a ways, but...
But the wind blows right off the sound there, and these are both incredibly beautiful spots. And you have pioneered a new technology that, do you see it catching on? Chris and Ron, you said there are now other windmills on the Cape, is that right, for home use?
Yes. There are five just like ours, and then there are a few others. That other types that are, there's a couple of Bergies and a few that are going up at some of the schools as well.
Yeah, that's true. So there would be about, 10, maybe even 12.
Yeah. There's one like ours at a farm, and then there are three others at private residences.
And we have a couple others, one at the high school, Falmouth High School and...
Falmouth Academy.
Uh-huh.
And then the Mid-Cape Tech School has one, and, yeah, so they're around. They're coming up more and more. But in terms of this scale,
there has been
a mushrooming of the larger ones, so I guess we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we're getting on towards the break. I want to take a short break, but I want to complete with these small-scale windmills, and then we'll go into the big stuff.
Okay.
We're talking with Mitchell Posen on Martha's Vineyard and Christine and Ron Zweig on Falmouth on Cape Cod about their home-scale windmills. Although, Mitchell, yours is a pretty big. Were you anticipating a substantial commercial sale of electricity when you put yours in?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was all part of the plan, economically. It had to be. The net metering was very much part of the reason why we did it.
And are you showing, you expect to show a profit? Are you showing a profit now?
We think that we'll be paying it off in 6.5 to 7 years, we think.
Okay. And you had some help, some government money and some other community money to put it up.
Yeah.
Now, is your windmill the biggest one on the vineyard?
The one here and the one at the other farm, those are the two biggest ones on the vineyard, yes.
And then there are other home use wind turbines on the vineyard?
Oh, yeah, I think there's like 16 of them on the vineyard.
Wow, 16. That's quite a few. And how do people seem to like them on the vineyard? Are they popular?
Oh, very much.
Mitchell, how does the size of your turbine compare to our town turbines?
Oh, your town turbine is 1,500 kilowatts. Ours is 68.
Oh, okay.
All
right, so listen, we've mentioned that.
Their blades are bigger than my whole thing.
Ah, yes, okay, right. Just to get
their blades are like 100, their blades are 125, 150 feet.
Right.
My whole thing is 150 feet.
Right.
Tower and blade.
Right.
So this, these were sized. This 68 kilowatt size was sized for farms like ours that would be friendly to the neighbors and not annoying to the neighbors. Sound, shadow.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by shadow?
Flicker.
Shadow is a better word than flicker for me.
All right. Well, listen. So we're gonna go into phase two of this conversation after our short break. We've been talking very interesting to me. I hope you folks listening in find it as interesting. We have two owners, family owners of home scale windmills on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard that are extremely successful. One with 2 years and one with 5 years or nearly 5 years experience. Not only successful, but profitable. When we come back after our 3 minute break here, we're going to talk about the big projects that are scheduled that are being fought over on Cape Cod. Fascinating and disturbing conflict in Falmouth. And we'll talk about Cape Wind as well. This is Harvey Wasserman. We're on with Christina Ronzweig and Mitchell Posen. We're at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show, and we will be back in about 3 minutes.
Coal plants, new plants, oil refineries, pipelines, mega dams, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan, oil spill, meltdown, flooding, suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam.
There we go. That wonderful Dana Lyons, my good buddy of Cows with Guns fame. Dana sings that song for us at the break on the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. And we are back with my buddies from the Cape and Islands, Christina Raleigh and Ron Zweig in Falmouth, and Mitchell Posen on Martha's Vineyard. Mitchell, you're on a cell phone. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you next to the ocean? I can hear the waves. All right, so we spent the first half hour talking about your small-scale windmills, and I'm going to assume that there is going to be a massive proliferation of these windmills all over the Cape and Islands. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes. In this, particularly in southeastern Massachusetts as well, there have been a lot of different projects that have come up. In Falmouth, there's another one that's slightly larger than Mitchell's. It's a 100 kilowatt turbine at the Woods Hole Research Center, which focuses on studies on climate change. And they have on their campus, they have a 100 kilowatt one. In Falmouth, we also have two municipally owned. These are turbines owned by the people. They're 1.65 megawatts, and there are two of those here that have been set up, and then on nearby Joint Base Cape Cod, which is a military base, there are now three, I think, or four, rather, very large ones, similar to the scale of Falmouth. An additional four are up there. Over across Buzzards Bay in Fairhaven, there are two, I think it's 1.5 megawatt machines. Now, these are like 400-foot-tall units, the tip of the blade, so they're quite quite big. Most of them are in that range. And then as you drive from here up toward Boston, there are some private ones that are 2 megawatts each. These, again, these are large machines, smaller ones, and but a lot. We're starting to see a lot of projects running now, and more in the works. So it's
two megawatts.
Booming
these
in
machines
Massachusetts
are
at the moment. In that way, every time you turn around, there's another one that's gone up.
Yeah. So these machines, 2 megawatts, that's a pretty big machine. They're like 500 feet. Tip to ground, is that right?
About 440, yeah, over 400 anyway.
Well, that's to the hub or to the blade. There's a couple really big ones, there's six now in Bowling Green, Ohio, that I think are 275 feet from the turbine housing to the ground, and then the blades themselves, I think, are another 175 feet. So these
huge,
are over
yeah.
500 feet.
Right.
Ours aren't
quite that big around here, but they're similar. 265 feet to the hub and another 130 feet on the blades. That's
right.
About 400 or so.
And these are multi-million dollar machines. The one in Bowling Green cost $1.8 million in the beginning, and they really paid for themselves very quickly, very, very successful. So
yeah.
There's no machines on the vineyard that are what we call utility scale, right? Yours is the biggest right now?
No. The plan for the vineyard, there's an organization that started. It's called Vineyard Power. And if you have a electrical meter, you can buy into it. And I think it started at $50 a meter, and now I think it's up to $100 a meter. And the plan is that they're allocating different parts of the ocean, and the Vineyard Power is trying to get its part. And we, as island electrical users, are going to own these turbines. And you'll have a voting share. You know, you have a vote, you know, one vote per meter.
Electric meter, as opposed to
for electric
meter.
Yeah, so that's in the works. And, you know, as Cape Wind is trying to get its permits, so is Vineyard Power.
All right, the beauty
of Vineyard Power, in my mind, is that we're going to own them. If we're going to see them, we might as well own them.
Well, that's what I thought all along, but I don't live on the Cape right now. Let's talk about Cape Wind, and we'll get into this. The mega project. I think it's, 165 megawatts, something like that, that's been proposed for a large array of wind turbines to be sited in Cape Cod Sound between the Vineyard, Nantucket, and the Cape. Or is that Nantucket Sound? And it's met resistance, but my understanding is its permits are in place. Chris and Ron, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I think that that project is a private one. Jim Gordon, this is his company, is working to put that one up. And it's about 5 miles offshore from all the islands, from each land mass. And so that is a private investment, and one that will, in terms of the big picture of things, it's really a very important and significant, would be the first offshore wind system. So there is risk, obviously, with that to some extent, although there is a very good experience in Europe, as we know, in England and Denmark and and Holland and many other countries, where they've had large offshore wind turbines that are working well and are compatible with, from what I understand, with the fishing industry and others.
Now, how many windmills are we? How many wind turbines? How many towers are we talking about here with Cape Wind?
130,
and it's over what kind of square mileage?
I think it's 25 square miles.
Okay, so these machines will be pretty far apart from each other.
Right.
And how big is each one supposed to be?
I think now they're talking about 2 megawatts. So they're in that sort of 400 to 500 foot height.
And they're all going to be anchored in the actual bottom of the sound.
Right. Well, that area that they're, it's called Horseshoe Shoal. And some parts of it are like 1 to 2 feet deep. And even though it's in the middle of the sound and you know, low tide, and other parts of it are deeper. So it's a very shallow area, one that actually is avoided by larger boats, including fishing boats.
And so what is the root of this has been going on for more than 10 years. What is the root of the resistance to the Cape Wind project?
As far as I can tell, it's basically aesthetic. It's a viewscape issue. People don't want to look out. Even though they would look like they would on the horizon, they would be about half to an inch high in terms of the looking at them at the horizon. That's if you put a ruler up. That's about how high they would be.
And are there no other objections? I mean, are there ecological objections or economic objections to the project?
Well, in terms of the there haven't been any particular, they've done studies on birds and things about navigation, including air navigation, and so from those standpoints, they've been found to be not much of an issue. For other ecological things, in terms of the impacts to the sea bottom, there should be no long-term impacts. I think during construction, clearly there'll be impacts, but. Relatively speaking, it would be relatively short, it would be very short term.
Now, these wind turbines on the Cape Wind project would be owned by a private corporation, and
right.
Who would they sell the power to?
They would sell it to the. They're selling. I think about three quarters of it is sold now. Half of it to the same company that we sell power to, NSTAR. And I think that the other quarter now is going to another company that actually provides power to Nantucket, National Grid.
I see. And but so unlike
I'm not sure where
the project
stands at the moment, exactly. But that's sort of where things are.
And unlike the project that Mr. Posen has described, where the people of the vineyard would own shares in the project, this is all essentially a corporation, a for-profit corporation that would be making money off the power and selling it to a private utility company. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like most power companies. Most power companies are like that. This one is that. And Jim Gordon is also involved in other electricity-generating projects with using natural gas and other things. So this is another part. But he's sort of the pioneer in this, in that there are no offshore wind farms. So it is it's something that could prove very much to be a template and an example for future development.
So this will be the first large offshore wind electrical generating facility in the United States.
Yes.
But it's been fought by many, many people, but you're saying now that the permits are in place.
The permits are basically in place, but the lawsuits continue because the... some of the folks with front row seats have very deep pockets and are financing a group called the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound. And they've received probably well over $10 million in fighting the project. And most of it is oriented toward the aesthetic side of things.
And it must be said that these people with deep pockets have made all of their profits from dirty energy, coal, oil, and one of the people who has put in the most into opposing this project is one of the Koch brothers who has a summer home there. And So he has cast it in the oppositional statements in on the basis of the aesthetics, but he has obviously much more at stake, and he has flooded Cape Cod with millions of dollars of money in opposition to not only ocean-based, but also now land-based wind, and many of the people who oppose the Falmouth wind turbines, which is, I have to say, a small group of people, that have been influenced by everything that the opposition to the ocean-based turbines have created. So they've written the script, and these people are using a similar script to oppose the land-based turbines here in Falmouth.
Actually, when Cape Wind was first proposed, the opposition to it said, you know, that's the wrong place. They should be on land, not in the sea. And now it's they shouldn't be anywhere, basically. So
put them on the moon. So is there opposition on the on Martha's Vineyard to the Cape Wind project?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, I haven't been keeping abreast of it. I have a neighbor who's a pain in the ass, who's a birder.
Yeah?
Who's opposed to it.
are they claiming, though, that the Cape Wind machines will kill birds?
Well, they always bring that up. And like Ron said, I think more birds are harmed by going into windows and houses than turbines.
Right.
In my way of thinking, you know, maybe, yeah, you know, there is some opposition here, definitely.
But it does appear, will you see the Cape Wind project from your place?
Who?
It's going to be so small that I don't know. It's going to be it's going to be pretty far from us. But even if it was up there, it'd be pretty insignificant.
Okay, so it does appear though that the Cape Wind project is going to go ahead. I assume the cost is much higher than was originally thought to be. But I also assume that there have been some technological advances in wind energy that might affect the project. Is that a factor at all? Have you heard anything like that, Mitchell or Clarissa or Chris or Ron?
Yeah, I think that it's been in the works for about 12, 13 years now. And so at the time that it was proposed, I think that the largest turbines were like 1.5 megawatts. Now they're up to 5 megawatts. Now, to what scale he has a permit for is probably in the smaller range, possibly 2 megawatts. But that will be a limiting factor. And whether that can be, modified, you know, due to technological advances, I think that is something for the company to look into. I'm not familiar with where it stands right now on that.
Okay, so I want to get into your local windmills, and we're actually, holy cow, we're running out of time real quick. So let's talk about that. You have two utility-scale windmills, Chris and Ron, in Falmouth.
There's another one that's privately owned in the same industrial park area as the two municipal ones.
So what's been going on there? I mentioned facetiously in the other half hour that they are being accused of causing venereal disease and herpes. Tell us what is happening with wind power and the community of Falmouth.
There is a group, a very well-organized small group of folks who have been complaining about health impacts of wind turbines due to noise audible noise or infrasound or flicker or a lot of various potential concerns. And a lot of this has been numerous studies have been done that look into all of these factors. And we even had one complaint that was in a law case that talked about dental injuries from the wind turbines. And the thing is that there was a health study done by an expert panel in 2012 by the state that found no definitive impacts from them. There have been some physicians here in Falmouth that actually did an evaluation, and they found that there was no particular impacts. There was a sound study from South Australia, the state of South Australia, that basically found no health impacts from sound of wind turbines, but said that different people have different reactions to sound, which we all know is we all have a different taste in music. So some people can be annoyed by that. There was an infrasound study that was done in Victoria State, again in Australia, and they found no impacts at all from infrasound, which is the current noise. Infrasound is what you can't hear, but it exists. Your heartbeat puts out probably more infrasound than most external things. So these are a lot of studies have been done, numerous ones, but a more critical one, and these have all come out in the last year or so. These are recent. These are new things. That there was a study done in New Zealand on the nocebo effect. The nocebo effect is basically a communicated disease. When you talk about something that is fearful, you become frightened of it and you worry about it. And I think the War of the Worlds broadcast by Mercury Theater is an example of that, where people panicked when they thought Martians were landing in New Jersey in the 1900s.
Well, of course, they were landing in New Jersey, as we all know now. But the question
is... No, but I don't know. But but those kinds of fears of things, in New Zealand, they did a study where they had a study group that said, okay, there are adverse impacts from wind turbines, and then another group, they told them there is no effect, and the group that had been advised it was a problem had a strong reaction to experiencing infrasound, whereas the other group had no reaction. So it was one of those kinds of things. And a very odd thing is that, and this is Simon Chapman, rather, an Australian researcher in this area, said that what's very strange is that almost all complaints come from English-speaking countries. Now, I can't figure that out, but that's a finding, his basic assessment, what was there. Another element to this is that because this is a new presence in the neighborhood, you know, there are wind turbines that weren't there before, so there's been a change, and I think it may be a reaction to that change, and people are worried about property values. Well, recently, this year in August, the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory did a study of the impacts of wind turbines on real estate value, and they looked at 50,000 home sales in 9 states and 27 counties. 50,000, about 2,000 of those were within a mile of wind turbines, and they found no impact as a result of that. And other local studies have shown that even here in Falmouth, there hasn't been any local impact. The local people have forced you to shut in real estate value since 2005, which hasn't completely recovered yet. So these are factors. Another element too is that there are other things in our environment that have similar impacts. I mean, we had this, our wind turbines really started running just as the recession started to strengthen. And so there was anxiety over income and other things. So a lot of that is possibly misplaced. Some of it. The turbines could be having an effect on some people, but a lot of that could be misplaced because of anxiety over livelihood. Lyme disease, the National Centers for Disease Control has found that what they estimate to be 30,000 cases in the northeast of the U.S. they now estimate to be 300,000. And some of the
Ron, I got to jump in here. We got 2 minutes left. The bottom line is that the people in the town of Falmouth, some of them have actually forced the community to shut these two or at least one or two of these reactors. Is that right? Of these windmills, is that right?
They've been curtailed to running halftime now because of these complaints and legal actions that are being taken. So it's something
that is costing the town a lot of money. This is costing you our money,
cook-off.
Right?
But we did have a vote here in May to finance taking them down, and more than two-thirds of the town voted to keep them. So there is a very strong interest in the decision that's been made by the town in having these energy-producing facilities here.
And when they run, they're very profitable. These two
windmills make a small group of people.
This is a small group of people. The windmills are very, wind turbines are very profitable to the town of Falmouth when they are running. Is that correct?
Right.
Correct.
And you think that the Koch brothers, with their huge fossil fuel interests, have been financing some of this opposition?
One in particular, yes.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap up. We've had a very interesting, I could do another hour with you guys, and maybe, hopefully we will in the near future, talking with Mitchell Posen on Martha's Vineyard, running a successful windmill there and wind tower. And we're going to sign off this week with Pete Seeger saying we'll see you on the windmill next week.
Solar-topia, don't you know we're gonna have a Solar-topia.